The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's October 19th. We are presented by Express. Express is all new and all about you with a fresh assortment of casual, versatile, and super comfortable styles. Find out more about Express and their exclusive Pick Six Podcast offer later in the show. All right, I mean, off the top, we're going to talk about Buccaneers and Packers because I got to tell you guys, I feel, and I was feeling it, really I was feeling it, feeling the vibe, feeling the mojo.
That feeling is the seven shots you had after the Braves lost. That's not, that's normal.
Well, how many shots are in a fifth?
11.
Oh, that I've had more than seven. So I would say,
I don't actually know.
No, it's way more than 11. I have some Four Roses single barrel here. I'm going to sip on it throughout the show. It's not abnormal for me in this podcast. I am very distraught by the Braves, but I will say this. The way that week six was going, it did feel like there was a changing of the guard, a turning of the tide, somehow the benevolent spirits were rising up to fight against Pete Prisco and his satanic ways. And it starts with the Packers getting kicked in the mouth by Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Pete was talking all week how the Packers were a lock and they were going to go in there and take care of business against Tom Brady. Blah, 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 blah. They get down 10-0. Aaron Rodgers does a triple pump. Herbert McDingleberry? What's the
Hingle. Yeah. Hingle McCringleberry. Come
Hingle
on.
Hingle McCringleberry from Key and Peele. And it was funny. It was a great celebration.
It was funny for 15 seconds and then things went horribly wrong.
Right. Well, so his touchdown gets called back. They score a touchdown on Aaron Jones rushing TD to go up 10-0. And then the Buccaneers score 38 unanswered points. This over, which by the way, should also point out, not great for me. Should have never been in doubt, but the Packers couldn't do anything in the second half. The Buccaneers were smothering. Like, they dominated the Packers to the point that, like, our buddy of the friend of the podcast, John Ledyard, had complained about their pass rush early on in the game. He got quote tweeted by Jason Light.
I didn't quote tweet it. He got the googly eyes.
What he quote tweeted with the eyes emoji.
Right.
Like, hey, look
and,
at
in Ledyard's defense, he just leaned into it. He goes, yeah, you were right at the time. And then guess what? I was right at the time. And then the Buccaneers. Yeah. Late. Let me ask you. By
the way, the Buccaneers were plus three or plus whatever. It didn't matter. They covered easily. The under hit. Ronald Jones was your top fantasy performer. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Uh-oh. Dunking on Wilson here.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He should have sent me the googly eyes emoji.
And Gronk gets to celebrate by going to Vegas next week. What a day for Gronk.
So Ronald Jones, first 28 games, he had one 100-yard rushing performance. He's had three in a row now. He looked like LeGarrette Blount, number 27 out there.
He look like LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, just a 27, and he's much thicker than I think he's been in previous years. Let me ask you guys this. Two things. I'll make a statement, then I'll ask the question. This is the reason why, in part, the Packers lost. Jamal Williams. So there's that. And number two, he said Tom Brady doesn't know what four downs is in midweek, and that's what got Tom Brady. That's why I'm saying that. Number two.
Oh, right.
Did it seem to you, Breach and or Brinson, that Aaron Rodgers, when the chips are down, he just says, F it. I'm done. I'm not even going to try. Cause I
the
feel
whole
like
the team didn't. Said that.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is the leader and I don't care what Equanimeous St. Brown is doing, but Aaron Rodgers, his body language, even at the end of the first half when Ndamukong Suh shoved him in basically into the bleachers and he got angry at a legal sack, I felt like he was done.
Yeah. And the thing is, you see that, and we saw it last year in two 49ers games. I felt like in both of them where he just kind of gets to a point where he mentally checks out. And as you said, Ryan, he's the leader of the team. He's the one that everyone else, all his teammates, they take their signals off of Aaron Rodgers. If your star quarterback is basically giving up on the game, you know, and that doesn't affect you down the road, but affects you in the game you're playing. If he gives up on the game, like, why are you still playing? Why are you, you don't want to go out there and.
The final Buccaneers touchdown, there were, and it was noted by Joe Buck or Troy Aikman, one of them, there were like seven guys just standing up, milling around. Like they looked like they were at a frat party, like walking around, like holding, like might as well have been holding cups. They weren't even trying to stop Jones from scoring. It was pathetic.
After they went up 10-0, the Packers had 5 yards total in the second quarter, and they only had 57 yards total over the final three quarters. And it was just one of those things where it is, you can, Aaron Rodgers is either the worst or best body language person, depending on, what he's trying to convey. If he's happy, you can tell he's happy. If he is mad, you can tell he's mad. If he's totally given up, you can tell he's totally given up. And so it did feel that way. I think, Ryan, that like you had all those guys going to halftime in the Packers locker room, be like, look, this is over. Like, why are we even playing the rest of this game?
I told Prisco that, Aaron Rodgers has already won the award. Most valuable powder.
He was pouting, and there's no two ways about
it. It was bad, man.
It was bad, and the lucky thing for him is that he's so good that he doesn't experience that very often, but that leads me to my second question. Is Matt LaFleur a good coach? I just don't have any idea.
I mean, he's now, I mean, what's his record now?
13-3 last year, and whatever, they're 4-5-1 right now.
So they're 5-1 now, right? So he's 18-4 as a head coach. And people thought Rodgers, I think we are being too harsh to flip it on Green Bay. I will say this.
What do you mean?
Let me ask you this.
They're 4-1 ahead of mine. Sorry. So he's 17-4 now. Like last week after the Packers game, I was sending out tweets like, oh, down to the Packers. I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. Blah, 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 blah. That was stupid. I should have stuck to my guns and been like, there's going to be some regression here. They did look good, but I think that. And I think this is important when you analyze football for a living, is that you have to be willing to adjust your perception of a team based on what you actually see. Like you can't go on your preconceived notions about whatever you thought coming into the season. So I was like, all right, the Packers are good. They're consistent. They have a great offense and maybe their defense is good. David Bakhtiari, I believe has a, I don't know what his injury is specifically, but Prisco was texting about a torn pec. If he's out for the year, that changes everything for the Green Bay Packers.
Well, going to see a lot more pouting then.
If Bakhtiari, but dude, Rodgers was getting blitzkrieged by the Buccaneers pass rush. Blitzkrieged.
Even before Bakhtiari went out. But yes, that didn't help once he did go out. That things were complicated. What were you going to say, Breach?
I was going to say to go along with your point and your question of is LaFleur a good coach? You know, like, he's certainly above average. You can't start 17-4, but when you look at the Packers schedule for this season, you know, they've won games they were supposed to win. You know, that's kind of what but I guess they're so good that they're going to be favored in every game. And so I feel like, maybe you can point to the Saints game. They beat the Vikings. They beat the Lions. Those were games they were expected to win. I mean, they beat the Falcons.
Wouldn't we agree that the, Falcons, Saints, and Vikings are all substantially worse than we thought they would be?
Yes.
Like if you look at, okay, I'm not trying to bury the Packers. That doesn't, mm-hmm. stupid. I mean, I didn't think the Packers were that good in the first place, but it seems if you look at it in the context of 5 weeks, 5 games played, like beating Atlanta, whatever, Atlanta sucks. You guys are coach fired. Beating New Orleans, that was impressive. You go to New Orleans and you beat them, but like Drew Brees doesn't have Michael Thomas. He can't throw downfield. You beat the Lions. They clearly have no defense. And you beat the Vikings who, again, have no defense. They've given up a bunch of points and Ryan, your point about them quitting, they quit. It looked just like the 49ers games last year.
Yeah. Look, I'm not burying them either. And I think what I learned is that they're not that much better or maybe not better at all than the Buccaneers. And I think Tom Brady,
I think the Buccaneers are way better.
Yeah, but we didn't know that coming into this game. The defense finally played well. They got after front four and back four. Lavonte David and Devin White were very good, and that all came together. So that was
Devin White was the fun fact. Devin White, the last person to see me before I flipped over the rails of a scooter in Nashville.
Oh, that's hysterical.
In fact,
I bet he remembered it.
He said, I gotta try these scooters. I was like, don't do it. They're dangerous. 5 minutes later, whoop.
Brooks brother goes flying.
So I think the Buccaneers are good. And let's talk about, we're not here to bury the Packers. The Packers will have their chances to deal with, by the way, Aaron Jones is going to go nuts against the Texans next week, who stink against the run.
And Aaron Rodgers said he thinks this loss was probably good for the team. I think we need a kick in the ass a little bit to stop feeling ourselves so much. And that's sometimes that happens too. So, you know, they lost a bad one to the Chargers last year, the 49ers. Well, they rebounded and had big wins the following week.
I actually went and looked at that breach. They won 24-16 against the Panthers at home after the Chargers loss. Then after they lost to the 49ers in embarrassing fashion after the bye, after that Panthers loss, they beat the Giants 31-13. And then of course they won by 10 at the Cowboys after they lost to the Eagles in the regular season. And then their only other loss was at San Fran in the playoffs. So yeah, you can expect a bounce back. The Packers are a good bet next week. They should bounce back. Rodgers will be pissed. Jones will go nuts. The Buccaneers, losing Vita Vea like that and then still having a good run defense is key. The Buccaneers are good. I wish I'd picked the Buccaneers to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC. They're good. Brady Rivers. That would have been awesome.
Oh, get out of here. And they just traded, by the way, for Steve McClendon, defensive tackle for the Jets.
Correct.
Who I loved in Pittsburgh, and you know, he's been toiling away in New York for a couple of years. So that they're bolstering the defensive line there.
And I feel like now that we're 6 weeks in.
Why do we have the news in the podcast, Wilson? That's professional work.
The Buccaneers absolutely feel like the best team in the NFC South.
I think the Buccaneers feel like the best team in the NFC.
Seahawks?
No. Let's.
I would say that
Seahawks go on a bye for 1 week and Brent forgets they exist.
No, I disagree. First of all, we all agree that the Seahawks defense stinks, right?
Russell Wilson does not stink, however.
He'll put up 55 points if he has to.
Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin can go toe-to-toe with the Seahawks.
No, they can't. Brady is not the same Brady. Let's calm
Brady
down.
Looks fine.
He looks okay. He's not.
Ronald Jones is awesome. Brady looks fine.
All right. I'm with Breach on this one. Let's move on because I don't want to argue. I love the Buccaneers. I'm glad they won the game. Gronkowski dunked on me today. He went 679 days between touchdown catches, which is mind-blowing.
It's important, though. You know how many days are in a week? So if you take the 7 out.
69. Oh!
All right. 49ers beat the Rams 24-16 on Sunday night. And this is interesting, of course, because you mentioned the Green Bay Packers, the 49ers. The 49ers last game, they got blown out at home by the Miami Dolphins, embarrassed. And they absolutely destroyed the Los Angeles Rams at home in prime time. Jared Goff, that was a bottom, I guess I don't really have a game log of in my mind of Jared Goff bottom five games, but that felt like a bottom five Jared Goff game. He was awful.
He didn't have the ball very long.
Jared Goff has had some stinkers, Brinson. I'm not sure that was in the top 10.
Okay, so bottom 10? Top 10?
Bottom 10. His top bottom 10.
He was terrible. Golf was bad.
He wasn't great, but they weren't on the field very long. That defense got zero sacks against Jimmy G. I just saw the stat, next gen stat. Jimmy G threw for 268 yards. You know how many of those yards were yards after the catch?
Oh, 201. Yes,
263.
226. So the first two plays of the game were those little flip passes to Debo Samuel. He scored on one. That was 44 yards. I think there were two more plays in the second half, including the last one that converted that third down. They kept the drive alive and let them run out the clock. So it was a lot of that. A lot of George Kittle, and a lot of Mostert before he got hurt, and then they lean on Jamichael Hasty. And then, you know, we talked about that offense on the other side doing straight up doo-doo.
The 49ers did such an incredible job because they came into the game and they were talking about it beforehand. Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the world. We know that. The 49ers interior offensive guys, offensive linemen are not good. And they did such a great job of getting the ball to Raheem Mostert outside of the tackle box and getting him sort of in space. And then they got Deebo Samuel on the move. And there was, you felt like watching this game that it was like a fireworks show because there was constant motion on both sides of the ball. And I thought Sean McVay actually did a very good job adjusting too later in the game when he realized Goff stinks tonight. I'm going to try and use a bunch of jet sweeps and a bunch of different motions and stuff. And, but it was too late. The 49ers had already made their move, had gotten the lead. The Rams offense or the Rams defense, excuse me, is a run funnel. You can run on the Rams. Like if you block a certain way and you move your guys in motion a certain way pre-snap and you get guys outside of the tackle box, you can run on the Rams. They're easy to run on. And the 49ers did a great job with it. That was fantastic coaching.
Well, yeah, and that's what you want to do. If you're going up against Aaron Donald, you just game plan exactly. The whole game away from him so you don't have to deal with him. You don't want to get Jimmy Garoppolo, who's on a hobbled ankle and will probably break in half if Aaron Donald sacks him and falls on top of him. And Kyle Shanahan said, you know what, we're not going to let that happen. Jimmy's going to get rid of the ball in like a half second with these little dump-off passes that you were just talking about. And it was really just a really, really smart game plan by Kyle Shanahan. And also, you know, this is the 49ers team we thought we would see when all the razzle dazzle works, when everyone's healthy and, you know, the 49ers aren't down to their fifth string receiver and their third string quarterback. You know, as hard of a time, I think we give Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers offense is better when he's in there. And I think, I mean, look, anybody can throw right. Short little dump that passes.
That was stupid. Who was that? Whoever asked him that should have their press like credential revoked. Like,
oh, what,
Nick Mullins going to take Jimmy's job? Like, no.
Don't ask that today.
Right. And anybody can think what they want about Jimmy Garoppolo. You can say, hey, maybe he's not a top 15 quarterback if you think that, but he is the best quarterback on that roster. And the 49ers are better when he is in there and healthy.
You're exactly right. And I owe him and Kyle Shanahan an apology because I had fallen for Sean McVay and Jared Goff over the first month of the season. Do you know who they've beaten, the Rams? They've beaten every team in the NFC East. So if they were in the NFC East right now, we'd be celebrating because they're a 4-2 and they're a juggernaut. But perspective's a funny thing. They play in the NFC West and they are now third best team in that division, probably. I mean, you could argue them and the Cardinals are probably, in the mix for the.
We all agree the Seahawks have won.
Yeah. And I think right now, I'm taking the 49ers. They just won. I'm taking the 49ers over the other two teams.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams are 4-2, the 49ers are 3-3. But like, I think this division is not out of it to get four teams into the playoffs.
It's not going to be four.
It's entirely possible.
The Rams should petition to play in the NFC East full time. I think that's their best bet. Right?
It's probably not going to happen because the
Brian, I don't know if you know a lot about, geography.
I don't,
but Los Angeles is like the opposite of the East. And I know Dallas is in the East, but I don't think they're going to, I don't think the petition is going to
get
through.
Better then.
Yeah. I agree.
It's unlikely to, by the way, the Cardinals were in St. Louis. It's unlikely to happen, but, because the Bears are 4-5 and 1 and the Packers are 4-1, like, both of those teams are probably gonna make the playoffs. And the Buccaneers and Saints look like playoff teams. The Panthers are still hanging around, et cetera. But it's not out of the question. I mean, the 49ers are Kyle Shanahan. I would like, if I could take back one, take that I've had in my NFL writing career.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh,
yeah, what is this one?
Well, it would be that like mocking the Shanahan clan. Cause Kyle Shanahan is one of the, like an incredible football coach.
He is one of the few examples where nepotism has worked.
Right. And like, it's like with Steve Belichick. It's not like nepotism is not bad here because you're getting a guy who is good at it.
There is no one better for the job than Kyle Shanahan
is an awesome coach.
Right.
If you were doing it, so, you know, we always do the quarterback drafts where you draft, like, you know, you want to take Lamar.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Mahomes,
yeah.
Or like you're starting,
you're building a franchise. Yeah.
You're building a franchise coach draft.
Yeah.
Who would be your number one pick?
I mean, you know,
you're not like, again, you're not taking Belichick because he's,
why not?
Well, I mean, you can, but your window is pretty
short. Is this for like the next 10 years or the next 2 years or 1 year or one game?
No, forever. Like you've just gifted an NFL franchise.
Well, Belichick is not a human, so he will live forever. So I will take him.
Okay.
Then probably Andy Reid and then probably Kyle Shanahan. And I would probably take Kyle Shanahan before Mike Tomlin. So Mike Tomlin will be four.
What about Sean Payton?
I don't know.
Like, you just hate Sean's. It's just Sean weird McDermott, that Sean McVay or Sean Payton.
Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill, and that gives me some pause.
Yeah, Taysom Hill scored the game-winning touchdown the other night.
All right.
Okay. So I'm going to argue that if I'm starting a franchise,
I would argue. Go ahead.
I'm taking Kyle Shanahan first.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine.
Okay. It's not a hot take. He's 40. No. He's like a year older than me.
And he has so much confidence that whatever he told you, you would believe it.
But his offensive schemes are awesome. If you were a team that had the first overall pick, let's say the Jets decided, okay, look, we're going to trade five future first round picks, not including 2021, to the 49ers for Kyle Shanahan. So we have Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Shanahan. I feel like you can win with that.
I have a ton of cap space. I mean, yeah.
No?
I don't think so. I think there's too many holes. Like, Kyle Shanahan's a great coach, but even a great coach is going to fail if they have nothing to work with. So if Trevor Lawrence is throwing passes to practice squad receivers during his first season in the NFL, it's not going to work.
The 49ers have duct tape at wide receiver, and it's 40 times better than the... What?
They have Brandon Ayuk. They have Debo Samuel.
Yeah, they have duct tape.
Brandon Moore is actually good.
Debo Samuel is a second-year player who just got off IR.
While those guys were injured, they lost to the Eagles and the Dolphins. Yeah. So, like, there is only so much you can take losing personnel-wise before, you know, it's going to hurt you no matter how good your scheme is.
Okay. What's your level of panic on the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, I think they look like the team we saw last year. I sort of was duped by them beating the NFC East, and they have it. By the way, their schedule coming up is incredibly tough. So things could turn sideways. I think they have three tough games and a bye, something like that. And then after the bye, I think they have Tampa Bay. So who are you looking at?
We might need to do a emergency podcast for just to discuss Wilson in Connecticut. Wilson, like, you were locked in. It's all, you're like,
I talk about this nonstop for 8 hours.
I've been there. Like, when you're like, you're thinking of your talking points, and so you're like, of course, the Rams schedule. Like, Wilson in New York, he's like, what's the Rams schedule again?
Yeah.
Wilson in Connecticut, it's like, you won't believe the schedule. According to Football Outsiders, it was 17th toughest against the
And the funny thing is to think about the Super Friends convening for this podcast. You have Wilson, who's coming off a studio set because he's doing a show. Brenton, who's drinking, watching a baseball playoff game. And me, who was trying not to wake up a baby that's like 5 rooms away. So it's just completely different dynamic.
But Wilson's not wrong. So the Rams, next Monday host the Bears. Then they play at the Dolphins. That's a tough turnaround on the following Sunday.
Yeah, Dolphins ain't no joke.
Short week, bye. You have to fly across the country.
Yep. They get their bye. Then they host the Seahawks. Mm. Then they have to, the next week, they have to go to Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
so that's too ridiculous. We knew that the corona was happening when the schedule was released. Who did this to the Rams? Why would you have them be in, like, home against Chicago, in Miami, back home, and then back to Tampa Bay? You couldn't have just had them play Miami and Tampa Bay in back-to-back weeks. No one's using these stadiums, guys. Then, after that, they have the 49ers at home, and then they have the Cardinals on the road. Yikes.
Yeah, so, I mean, things could be...
And then the Patriots on 3 days rest.
Ah! That is tough.
Yep.
So. Rams are a fate. If Goff play, I think they'll... Goff looked awful Sunday night.
It wasn't all him, but they have a lot of work to do, and he has to play. He has to play A plus Goff going forward. That's the reality.
Daryl Henderson's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, B minus Goff ain't going to cut it.
And Goff didn't get sacked at all. That's the crazy part. Usually, when he struggles, it's because the other team is just putting so much pressure on him. And this was just bad throws, and he just didn't seem like he had any clue what was going on. It's like he was lost. Like, he had a different playbook from Sean McVay. So I don't know what was going on.
And McVay also did the thing, that Kyle Shanahan was doing, where he's like, I don't know that Jimmy's like feeling it right now. So I'm going to run a bunch of jet sweeps and motions and get it off of his plate, like take the burden off of him. And that's great that the coaches are that smart, but it's a sign that they don't trust the quarterback in that particular moment.
Hard to do when you're losing 21-6.
It is.
Do you imagine having that thought, even though you gave your quarterback a $110 million contract?
I would be angry.
Hey, man. We're going to take it off your plate. We thought we were putting it on your plate because we gave you all this money. We're going to take it off the plate. You're getting too much work.
The Steelers. I got to be honest. I mean, I am a moron.
On Friday's show, you picked.
No, I don't. I didn't believe it. I don't know why I said it.
I'll give you that. You didn't believe it.
I was staring Steelers -3 in the face before 1 o'clock.
-3 is a terrible line, though. You figure something's up.
It was right. It was so bad. But my buddy Nathan likes, he likes his phrase. Sometimes a line is just a line. And oh, this was just a, this was free money. If you wanted free money,
yep.
the Steelers had it for you because this game was not close.
It was over midway through the first quarter, and that's not an exaggeration.
When Minka pick-sixed Baker, it was done.
Another tough day for Prisco. Minka, his guy who didn't make the top 100, had a big day.
I'm telling you, it felt like it was all flipping on Pete up until the Braves. And he's like tweeting, he's like texting me like, go Dodgers. Go to hell, man. Like, burn Pete. I hope you burn in hell. No. And I hope when you get there, there's like a one-legged Jake Plummer who's like talking to you 24/7. Just so you
why Jake that. Plummer? Does Jake Plummer hate him?
Arizona State.
Oh, right.
It reminds him of his losses.
I would love for Tim Tebow to be like his like nursing home attendant.
Ooh, or he's got to go to like a Tim Tebow, like wedding, Tim Tebow officiated wedding ceremony.
That's right.
For all of eternity.
Yes.
That'd be great. The Steelers won 38-7 over the Browns. The Steelers, this is the, I'm so mad at myself. I crushed the picks today.
You sure did.
And one of the ones I missed was, and I took the Eagles because and the Washington football team, I was like, these are just weird lines. I'm just taking them. But one of the two I missed, 9-3 apparently, actually. That's not right. They hit me down for the Rams. They ain't right. Uh-huh. The Browns. The Browns they should have been dogs by 7. It was insane. And that wasn't enough. The Steelers smashed them. The Browns want to run, and the Steelers are good at stopping the run. Baker Mayfield sucks when he's playing good teams or teams that rush the passer.
And
those are a good team who rush the passer.
He sucks.
First of all, I would also like to apologize. And he had broken, like busted ribs.
Yeah.
I was wrong about the Steelers. My apologies.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting you.
Brinson, you're being grilled. I am getting tweets about how wrong Brinson was on. You know, your coworker picked the Steelers to finish in last place.
Well, I'm
like, yeah, bro, I know that because I'm going to rub it in Brinson's face the rest of the year. Of course I know that.
Kevo, cut that apology and we should tweet that
out. Cut it. Yeah, cut it. Look, would you like the caveat too? So yeah. I wasn't even that wrong though. Like the Bengals are a little frisky and the Browns were 4-1 coming to this game and the Ravens are a good team. So it's entirely possible the Steelers could actually finish in last place if Big Ben El wasn't healthy, but he is healthy. And I don't think their pass defense is very good, but their pass rush is great. Their run defense is fantastic. And they have tons of weapons. And Chase Claypool is a monster. If you get drafted, the biggest validation for any human being in their entire life is being drafted as a wide receiver by the Steelers. Yeah, that means that you're good at something because they don't draft bad wide receivers. All they do is bang out good wide receiver draft picks. It's unreal. Chase Claypool's a monster.
But saying even Ben is healthy, sure, he's healthy, but he hasn't been great. He was completely average in this game. They still won 38-7. That's how good the Steelers are. If Ben Roethlisberger plays above average, you could say argue the Steelers are the best team in football.
Yeah, let's settle down.
Prisco, I thought Wilson had jinxed them.
Teaser here. Prisco's putting him 1 in the power rankings.
Whoa, he's jinxing him. That's a pretty good jinx.
He hates Russ. So
he's putting a stink on him.
And by the way, he is playing better than average. I'm quite comfortable where he's playing. He's not pushing the ball down the field a lot, but he throws jump balls to Chase Claypool, and Chase Claypool catches them. By the way, Deontay Johnson's only played a handful of games this year. I think he's probably missed as many as he's played in. So when he's healthy, that's one more weapon. Arguably their best wide receiver is coming back.
They are deep at wide receiver.
Juju has not been involved. To Juju's credit, he has not complained. We'll see if that changes, but, the advanced metrics likes the Steelers defense better than my eyeballs do, to your point about the pass defense. This was a big game for Minka, according to people who watch every, like all 22, that Minka's actually done fine this year. He just hasn't flashed on when you watch the broadcast. So
he's been less like, but I mean, that's to be expected. Like you're going to regress on
right.
like touchdown turnovers
or throw away from or whatever. But Bud Dupree is playing out of his mind. He's actually arguably playing better than TJ Watt. That's huge. Cam Hayward and Steph Tuitt inside are playing out of their minds. And to your point, Stefanski could not run the ball. And when you can't run the ball with a quarterback who has 14 broken ribs, it's going to be a long day. They brought in Case Keenum and they actually looked better. And I wonder if they had started him if things would have been closer.
They announced that they benched. It was weird. So it was on Nance and Romo were on the call. It was a CBS game. And they were like, Baker Mayfield's been benched, but. And then they realized they were like, it wasn't benched. They were getting blown out, and you just didn't need to let Baker Mayfield get blasted.
You could hear him through the broadcast moan every time he got hit. The kid was
he had no business playing
banged up. No business.
Why would you put him out there? And it's like, you know, if you're playing the Jets, I understand putting him out there. Maybe, you know, let him get a little bit better. He's banged up. You're playing a Steelers defense. It's just going to injure him more. Ryan's talking about these 14 broken ribs. You're going to have 50 broken ribs by the time you're done with this game. He got beat up in this game, and he wasn't healthy going into it. So I like, this hurts the Browns going forward because now his health is in question for the next few weeks.
To that end, Breach, let me ask this hypothetical. Is it possible that Kevin Stefanski at 4-1, you're feeling yourself? You're the new Browns coach, first year. You're 4-1, you're feeling yourself. You're like, we haven't won since 03 in Heinz Field. This would flip. If I get this win, yeah, I have all the street cred in Jimmy Haslam's very short-term memory.
But we're talking about...
I think that Kevin Stefanski or whoever else was involved in the decision may have erred whatever the opposite of the side of caution is.
Right.
They threw caution to the wind. Thank you. And they threw Baker out there thinking, all right, look, if we can win this game, we are all of a sudden 5-1. We're in control of the division.
But as Breach was noting in our previous conversation, isn't that sort of like Sean McVay saying, all right, Jared Goff, go out there and do things I know you can't do. Fingers crossed.
It's a little bit like Sean McDermott, like tossing out Nate Peterman.
Yeah, that's disrespectful to Baker Mayfield, but okay.
No, I'm saying, but like he's your former number one overall pick. He has a bunch of rib injuries. What are you putting out there against TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, Cameron Hayward, and
this is this crazy? What if Stefanski's thinking, you know what? This is two scenarios here. Number one,
is this a Gone Girl thing where
Baker Mayfield goes out there and he wins, and then boom, I get all the credit because we beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. I'm going to get a parade in week 6. Boom. And Baker Mayfield's the starter for the rest of the time. Or Baker goes out and plays horrible like he did. Now you've opened the door to possibly playing Case Keenum down the road.
That's a can of worms.
I mean, would you be shocked if we see Case Keenum start a game in the next 4 weeks?
With a completely healthy Baker Mayfield?
Baker's been good.
I didn't ask. Are they going to throw him out there injured again next week against the Bengals?
They're going to blast whatever crappy team they play next week. Don't worry about it.
Well, we'll see. All right, what's next?
It's the Bengals, Ryan.
Oh, I see. I got it.
Not that locked in, are you? Mm-mm. Tighten up, pal. By the way, the Browns haven't won. They've lost 17 straight games in Heinz Field. I can't stress this enough. This is one of the biggest mistakes of my picks/gambling career. I've been doing this for 30 years.
Does it rank higher or lower than Garrett Bradbury, Rookie of the Year?
Like, is it higher is bigger mistake or lower is bigger mistake?
Bigger mistake.
I would put this is top five. This is a free space. You don't get free spaces in gambling much. The Steelers were free money. Baker's hurt. Odell hadn't practiced because he's got a COVID test. The Steelers have owned the Browns. They haven't won in 17 straight games at Heinz Field. They play them every year there. Mike Tomlin destroys the Browns. Ben hates the Browns. It was free money. And I'm sorry if anyone bet on the Browns based on my recommendation. That is my fault.
He will pay you back, by the way. All right.
No, I will not. Moving along.
Send him a Venmo request. I'll give you his Venmo name.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I won't send you any money. I won't send Ryan any money, but I will give you a...
Don't you owe money for the Mitchell Trubisky thing?
Yes.
You should send Ryan some money. You should send him double what you owe him. Interest. Okay, there's a lot of interest.
Instead of sending Ryan money, I'm going to give you something better money, Ryan.
Oh, what is it?
It is an opportunity to text the word football to 397-737. And immediately, as soon as you text that, get a $25 off a 50% purchase at Express. That's right. You see me? If you're going to YouTube, you're watching us, you see me. I like to be casual. Cool. You see Ryan texting. I like to be casual, comfortable, a little bit professional, slightly aloof. John Breach has just texted football to that. I don't know if you can do that as a member of the podcast, but try anyway. I need clothes that are casual and extremely comfortable. And Express has that versatility. That's what I'm looking for. And today, I'm going to tell you about their Lux Comfort Knit Collection. It feels like you're wearing your favorite sweats, but everyone thinks you're at work. It's incredible. People don't have to know it. because you look great. So go text 397-737 and get $25 off a $50 purchase. You're going to look sharp. You're going to feel soft. And you're going to like look good, feel good, play good. That's how Express rolls. Again, text football. The word football. That's all I have to do. Text football to 397-737. And you get you're basically 50% off. $25 off your $50 purchase from Express. Incredible deal.
Ravens. Done and done.
Yes. Speaking of incredible deals, if you took the Eagles plus 7.5, you somehow covered. The Eagles were getting the snot kicked out of them, and they still covered. They lost to the Ravens 30-28. The Eagles were plus 10 when it closed, plus 7.5 on our side. The over 46.5 hit. Carson Wentz actually outperformed Lamar Jackson. Debo.
Yo, Will.
Let's get our Eagles check-in.
Here is the Eagles check-in right here. This team is going to host a home playoff game. I don't feel great about that.
High.
I don't feel great about the season, even if you're hosting a home playoff game, because we know the likely outcome. But I do, after this game and after the past couple weeks, feel good about the future, because I think this game kind of reaffirms that Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback. And I know the stat line may not necessarily present that. He has nothing. He has absolutely nothing. You like to talk about those social graphics that that all the teams put up before the season with the weapons. All right, just imagine the 10 other starters on the Eagles offense heading into the season. They were down to one by the end of the game today outside of Carson Wentz, and that was Jason Kelce. Everybody else was lost. Zach Ertz, Miles Sanders lost during this game. He had nothing. You still don't have enough respect on Travis Fulgham's name. He's something. But, whoa. I mean, you called him Todd Fulgham in the early.
Did I call him Todd Fulgham?
Todd Fulgham.
I started him in DFS.
We have a little ways to go. Okay. We're getting
Steve
there.
Fulgham, what do you want from me?
I don't feel great about the future 6-9-1 Eagles making the playoffs this year, but I feel good about Carson Wentz, and I know it's going to come back to Carson Wentz. The Eagles were in this game. I think they deserve to be in this game because there was a couple big drops, one in the end zone right before half that could have made it approachable, but this team fights. Carson Wentz fights, and I don't want to hear anything about the quarterback. We could talk about other aspects of the team and poor two-point decisions, but I feel good.
Wait. Debo said the respect Travis Fulgham's name, and I think, did you just say that there was a drop right before halftime? Are you talking about the Hail Mary that he almost made a miraculous catch on, Debo?
No, I'm talking about Miles Sanders in the end zone.
Oh, and this is my question, Debo.
Yes.
Would you like to issue your formal apology now or later to the J.J. Arcega Whiteside?
Is, if you want to spend a second round pick on a blocker that follows the play, a wide receiver blocker that follows the play, go after J.J. Arcega Whiteside because he is your guy. Spend a second round pick on him.
Was that his first career touchdown?
I probably had one last year, but forgettable. What a moment.
Miles Sanders fumbles at the end zone, and Arcega Whiteside is just there to dive on it.
Right place, right time, baby. By the way, I'll say this, after watching the Steelers struggle with the Eagles last week and watching what the Eagles did in the second half against the Ravens, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC East. The records obviously don't reflect that.
He did have one last year, by the way.
I disagree with that. The Steelers game, the Ravens game played out the same way where they both went up by
Stoney may have pulled a hamstring or a.
Thank you, Brunson.
Both teams went up by like 5 touchdowns and they're like, oh my God, this team is horribly bad. It was almost like they let them have a pity comeback. Yeah, they have no one. That's why they're not the best team in the NFC East.
But they're going to get healthy.
The Ravens should have won this game 49-14.
But here's the thing, Breach. The Eagles are going to get healthy. Dak Prescott is not walking through that door.
Would you say the Eagles are going to get healthy? What history has proven that's going to happen?
They got a new trainer today. A new health trainer.
I agree with Wilson, and this is not a – like I think the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl, but like I think the Eagles will probably win the division. Now, the Cowboys could win it. Breach, your Dalton bias is coloring your analysis, and it's – and dare I say you're wearing red shaded glasses here.
It's an ugly look on you, Breach.
It is. Like, the Cowboys' defense is way worse than the Eagles' defense. And the Eagles' offense is worse than the Cowboys' offense with Dak Prescott, obviously. But I think let's see what they look like against Arizona with Andy Dalton starting the game.
The Eagles lost to Washington.
There's not a quarterback, a team in the league that would have beaten Washington that day with that offensive line. Patrick Mahomes could be behind that line.
The Bengals. Brinson says the Bengals are trash, which is
Brinson.
That's
how they get into the playoffs. That tie.
The Cowboys are in trash. First place and they're 2-3. What are you like? You're like peacocking around. The Bengals haven't won a, have the Bengals won a game?
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
They won last week.
They did win a game.
Did you miss all of week five?
Yeah. Look, man, the Braves have me shook. Okay. Oh, so I'm sorry. The Bengals are what? 1-3-1?
Excuse me. So are the Eagles. They have the same record.
Yeah, but the Bengals play in the best of like the second best division of football and the Eagles play in the worst.
Right.
If the Eagles get healthy, they can win that division.
Brinson, I'll purchase you $50 worth of Express if you can tell me what college Jason Kroom went to.
Oh boy.
Jason.
Who caught a touchdown in this game today.
He's a tight end, right?
Yeah. So I was at the game today.
I want to see Iowa State.
Oh, you were at the game, Debo?
I went to the game today.
What?
Caught the touchdown right in front of me, and I literally looked to my friend, huge Eagles fans, who the hell is Jason Kroom? Who is this guy that just caught this touchdown in this huge moment? That's the state of the Eagles right now.
I'm going to guess. In fact, I'm going to cancel Iowa State and I'm going to guess Mississippi State out of respect for Sylvester Kroom.
Oh, there you go.
Good call. SEC school, Tennessee.
Ooh. Of course.
Okay. Which I looked up obviously after the fact.
Yeah, clearly.
Jason Kroom.
Wow, I didn't peg you as a football attending person.
What? He's a football fan. Why wouldn't he go to a football game? His favorite team.
It was very safe.
Pandemic.
It was a,
to wear a mask.
A unique opportunity in 2020 to attend a game.
Well, okay. Follow up question. And I'm not, how was it?
The game itself.
Football, like the experience of being in a football game with minimal fans.
It was super odd. There's lots of space to operate. I like that. You know, all the stuff that the traffic, the bathroom lines, the bathroom not smelling horrible, the food, all that stuff was to your benefit. It's just, you know, a little lack of crowd noise. But yeah, it felt safe. It was about 6,000, I think, fans and then 7,500 total with game day personnel and everybody involved. So
yeah, you're outdoors. I think it's safe. I think it's basically like being a Wake Forest football fan.
Right. With a chance to win a game.
You do whatever you want. You got tons of room to sit. You don't have to worry about cramping. Yep.
It's like going to a Mac school. I know all about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It felt good to boo. Going into the tunnel 17-0 at halftime felt real good to get those boos back out. Not something I've been able to do in 2020.
Feel it in Debo's. Debo senses the tide turning too. He knows.
Yeah, he's getting a little confidence. He's going to be dunking all over Breach before it's all said and done.
Okay, hold on. Should we be betting on the Eagles to win the division now?
Yeah. What is it?
No. You're throwing your money away. You're literally throwing it away. Let's just set it on fire right now on the podcast. Just get your wider out, set it on fire.
Ooh, Aaron Rodgers dropped in the MVP race. You hate to see it, Pete. I mean, sorry, just talking out loud. The NFC East.
While you're looking that up, I just want to say that should there be a little bit of concern about the Ravens offense right now? We've seen two straight weeks. They're winning games. So, you know, that's the key, but the offense hasn't looked very good. Over the past few weeks, Lamar Jackson hasn't looked good throwing the ball.
He ran for 100 yards, but that's not exactly what you want him doing all the time.
So I had this discussion with Briscoe because we have a $100 bet on Ravens versus Steelers. They both basically played the same teams, and they haven't played anybody good. I mean, the Ravens, this is their first single-digit victory this year. They haven't had a game that was within 10 points all year long that they won. Now they lost, but and looked awful.
To Breach's point, they didn't look good last week. They were blowing the doors off.
Dude, they looked fine. They looked fine against a Washington football team.
Oh,
they did what was necessary to bludgeon a terrible football team.
Well, that's fine against the Washington football team, but when you start playing the Steelers,
they played the Bengals last week.
That's what I thought. How they played
Washington 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Bengals kicked a field goal and got booed.
The Bengals defense did a really good job on shutting down Lamar Jackson.
Wait. Okay. Obviously, I forgot about week five.
Brinson just blacked out week five. That must have been.
Who knows? But didn't they beat that game was never in question. They murdered the Bengals.
No, no one's saying it was in question. I am just saying that the Ravens offense hasn't looked as good this year as it did last year. Right. And that maybe they're not the best team in the AFC North. Obviously they're in second place now. So place wise, they're not, but I'm saying overall, I'm not so sure that I wouldn't feel comfortable picking them to win the division right now.
I'll play. I was going to ask you who would you bet on to win the AFC North right now? All right, so first of all, NFC East, Cowboys are -130, and the Eagles are +160 at William Hill right now. Who'd you take?
Slam dunk.
You smash the Eagles.
What are the Cowboys?
-130.
Oh, I'm taking the Cowboys. I'm
not sure you don't take Washington at 12-1.
I mean, that's not value wise. That's probably better than Eagles.
That's the Garrett Bradbury of that.
Well, the Washington already has a tiebreaker over the Eagles.
All right, so this is the current odds at William Hill.
Breach, I feel like that tie affected you worse than it did me. Your hate against the Eagles. I think that tie is really in your head.
Yeah. That's a good call, Debo. Care to comment, Breach?
No,
it's a good tie.
He's getting download information from Jerry Jones. He can't talk right now.
Ravens are -155. Steelers +150. Browns 10-1.
+150 for the team that's currently in first place?
Breach, allow me to finish, please. Don't interrupt people.
I love that. That's gold. Go ahead.
And oh my goodness. Of course, the Bengals currently 300-1 to win the division in week 6.
I'm saying there's a chance.
Oh, he missed! He missed! Oh, and he may have pulled.
Don't burn that out because you're going to get a lot of use of it when we actually talk about the Bengals game.
300-1 to win the division in week 6.
All right, what's next? Let's go. I got to go to bed.
Worry about Samson coming in there.
Yeah, well, I got to drive home tomorrow to do a 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. show after I've gotten home for 45 minutes.
Oh, we have a 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not so funny now, is it?
Oh, no. I'm going to be looking great. Anyway, I'm not worried about the Ravens. The Ravens, I think the Ravens are trying to not come out of the gate scorching like they did last year.
They're concerned. Breach is right. There's some concerns about Lamar Jackson not being the person he was last year. So
their next 5 games: Steelers, Colts, Patriots, Titans, Steelers.
And their wide receivers, they have issues at wide receiver. They don't have an established go to. Mark Andrews is fantastic, but who are you throwing the ball to consistently? No one has yet to step up.
Wait, Steelers, Colts, Patriots, Titans, Steelers.
Yeah,
that's what he just said.
I mean, that's the division and the AFC decided right there.
Exactly. If they win all 5
the next 5 weeks, we'll decide the AFC hierarchy.
No, well, the Chiefs aren't in that mix, and they're doing fine. But yeah,
well, just in terms of like, I mean, yeah, the North. The Chiefs already have the tiebreaker on the Ravens.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the next 5 weeks they play the Steelers twice.
Yep. There's a bye. They have a bye.
All right. I'm going to throw out my theory then. The Ravens are playing possum. They know the Steelers are coming up twice. And they're about to uncork some deep ball business.
Okay. We'll see. What's next?
All right. Next up is something that I would
talk about.
Find the rundown. The Broncos. Oh, my God. This game was weird. Dude. The Broncos beat the Patriots 18-12. Is that a Scorgani situation? The Broncos +7, obviously covered. The under 44 hit. Cam Newton was somehow the top fantasy performer at 16 points. Drew Lock threw, I mean, 2 of the worst interceptions you will ever see.
Kirk Cousins is like, those are terrible interceptions.
As you're trying to ice away the game.
Oh, my God.
And just put the Patriots right back in them, and they couldn't close. That is the first win in Foxborough for Denver since September 24th.
Do you think the headline in tomorrow's paper is going to be Broncos win war of 18-12?
That's pretty good.
Because the final score is 18-12.
No, I got it. But there are no horses.
Also, the War of 1812 wasn't between horses and people, so probably not.
The last time, Bernstein, who asked if it was a Scorigami? The last time it was 18-12 in the NFL. The Eagles played. I'm sure Debo remembers it because it was week 1 in 2018.
Ooh. It was Bill Belichick's first loss as a Patriots head coach when his team did not allow a touchdown. Look, I'm going to go get some ice cubes. And Breach, you can talk about Brandon McManus's 6 field goals.
You know what? People were clamoring for that on Twitter. It was the only scoring of the entire game for Denver. I'm going to add something real quick to Brinson's So this was Belichick's first loss to a team where the Patriots did not give up a touchdown. He also only had one loss where his team didn't give up a touchdown while he was the coach of the Browns. Both losses came to the Broncos. And Drew Lock also the one of only two quarterbacks to throw multiple interceptions and win in New England. The other quarterback to do it was Kurt Warner with the Rams.
So I was going to say Drew Lock, I think, finished with a 34.9 passer rating. That was actually worse than Aaron Rodgers' 35 and change passer rating. And the difference, of course, as you point out, Drew Lock won. And let me read these possessions to you, Breach, and tell me if you think this team would go into Foxborough and win under any circumstances. The first six possessions all ended in field goals for the Broncos. Then it was punt, punt to start of the second half, interception, interception, and then the end of the game. And that team somehow beat the Patriots.
It looked like Drew Lock was trying to throw the game away. I mean, it felt like it was 18-3 with under 10 minutes to play in the fourth quarter, and it just felt like there's no way the Patriots can get back in this. They score a touchdown to make 18-9. It's like, fine, it's still a two-score game. Then Drew Lock throws two picks over the next, like, 4 minutes. It was just absolutely bonkers. But as for Brandon McManus, who is the MVP of the game, look, when your team can't drive and score touchdowns, you need a kicker who is good, and that is where McManus came through. Six field goals, franchise record six field goals. You know what is fun to me, Wilson, is watching a game with a bunch of field goals. This game was like, it was like watching
football porn, if you will.
It was like that. McManus hit from 45, 44, 27, 52, 20, and 54. And that 54 was a big one. That was his final field goal of the day, gave him an 18-3 lead. And that was big because if he doesn't make it, then the Broncos would have only been up 15-12 on the Patriots' final possession, and the Patriots would have only needed a field goal tie. So McManus was huge. We should have a separate podcast about just McManus's day. Not right now, but at another time when Wilson doesn't have to go to bed in 20 minutes.
I'm looking
great stuff. Titans 42, Texans 36.
Quickly.
By the way, I will say this. The one thing about that Patriots game, it's sneaky. You know what it did?
No.
The Chiefs win on Monday. Are the Dolphins in the mix?
Well, it's funny you say that because this was a huge game for the Patriots, the team they should have steamrolled.
I mean,
and what are you doing, the Chiefs are going to beat the Bills more than likely, and they could have made up ground on the Bills with a win over the Broncos that they now cannot make up. And this is the first time since 2002 that this late in the season the Patriots have been below 500. They did not go to the playoffs in 2002, so things they got some work to do.
And I would just like to point out that Brenton's stealing my points. Last week's podcast, I said the Dolphins were good, and I got shushed. And so now all of a sudden I'm not getting shushed, and I've got people on my Dolphins are good bandwagon that I was driving by myself in the middle of nowhere, completely lost, and now Brenton's here trying to jump in the driver's seat.
Can't you imagine a situation where, like, you're hanging out at your house, and all of a sudden this, like, creepy little van comes flying by. It's got a dolphin, like a
snowflake,
like
a dolphin,
like a snowflake, the dolphin on top of it. And he has a dolphin in the back of it. And then, like, Breach pulls up. He's like, "Hey, do you know how to get to Ithaca?" And you're like, "Listen, man, I've seen this movie. Get the hell out of here."
Oh, by the way, that reminds me.
How deep are you in The Boys, by the way?
I just saw that episode and it was super freaky.
God, it's disgusting.
That was amazing. I'll leave it at that.
That show is like, I made this analogy. So they kept showing this guy, Will Smith, this Braves pitcher who just got shelled by multiple times in the playoffs. They're showing him in the bullpen. It's like, this is like watching a death scene in The Boys. Like, I don't need to see it. I can't look at it. It hurts my eyes. They shot, I don't want to spoil it.
Don't say anything. Just season one, episode four.
How good is the show?
I love it. Some people don't like it, but that's okay.
I told you it was awesome.
You were right. You're actually pretty good about that. The only thing you're different on is Uncut Gems.
Now, wait.
I like it. You guys don't like it.
I liked it. It was just unnecessary. Like, it's just anxiety ridden.
Right. That was the point.
Also, why are you betting on the
right. Yeah. Yeah. The tip off. I got
it. By the way, The Boys, interesting move. Amazon is now releasing it week by week. So don't catch up too quick. You'll get,
smart.
You'll get jammed.
All right. Let's not get sidetracked. What we got?
Titans 42, Texans 36. What a thrilling game. Imagine having all of your DFS players in this game and then at the last minute deciding to move a bunch of people to Cam Newton and losing all of your money instead of winning several thousands of
dollars. This is a weekly story with you, though.
It really is. I'm the ultimate tinkerer, and I have to stop.
Tinker.
I tinker. From 12 to 1, I tinker. I swear. It's unbelievable.
So anyway, let's hear.
Should we start calling you Tinkerbell?
Sure. No. Let's hear Breach's defense of actually what is a really good Tennessee Titans.
By the way, the Titans covered. The over obviously hit. And Deshaun Watson, 39 fantasy points. Derrick Henry was an absolute monster in this game. I think he finished with 212 rushing yards.
52.
And thank you, Brian. 52 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns.
This is the third time in Derrick Henry's career that he's rushed for at least 200 yards with 2 touchdowns. The only other players to do that, somebody named Jim Brown, somebody named Barry Sanders, and somebody named LaDainian Tomlinson.
All Hall of Famers. That is the key right there. I think the Titans are the best team in the AFC.
I was going to say, I mean, you can make that argument. What are your concern levels with that defense?
My concern levels are like 6.
That needs to be higher than that.
Because hear me out. If you watch this game, oh, because I'm a Nash, is that the Titans were about to roll and run away with this. I mean, they were up 21-10 and they scored on like every possession in the first half. I honestly thought the final score was going to be like 52-20. And then what happened was Stephen Gostkowski went out for a 27-yard field goal. The Texans blocked it. They went down and scored a touchdown after that. All of a sudden, it's 21-17. Then Taylor Lewan got injured. All of a sudden, the Titans don't
have their... Torn ACL for Taylor Lewan, by the way.
Torn ACL. All of a sudden, he's out. His backup comes in. You know what happens 2 plays later? Ryan Tannehill gets drilled and fumbles it. And then the Texans score 3 plays later. So all of a sudden, it was 21-10, looking like a blowout. You have a blocked field goal. Your left tackle's out for the season. And then it's 23-21 Houston. So... it was just 2 really kind of freakish, weird plays.
Taylor Lewan ain't coming back though. That's a concern.
I mean, that's true, but trying to adjust that in game is a lot more difficult than getting a week of practice to adjust to it. So I am not concerned.
Taylor Lewan. So I think we undersell offensive and defensive line injuries when we, not us, but like in general, like people when they're analyzing football do it. And like Taylor Lewan and David Bakhtiari are two. See, this is my point. When Barkley and Christian McCaffrey go out, we're like, we have an injury, an injury pandemic. Everyone's injured. Everyone's going down. Yep. But no one's saying anything when Taylor Lewan and David Bakhtiari are going down. Those are two massive injuries.
And the Titans defense still has questions.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the 12 men on the field thing? With Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is a savant. If he did this on purpose, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen anybody do. So it's 2nd and 1. Texans have the ball and they're up and he thinks they're going to score and the cameras catch him. They put 12 guys on the field. They're 12 Titans on the field, right? I'm going to find the clip exactly, but there are 12 Titans on the field and Vrabel, a defender looks over and he's like, whoa, I'm going to get off. He's like, shh. He's like, don't worry about it. And then he makes a scene and alerts the official and the official throws the flag and gives them the Texans a first down, but it brings it within range where they can't get another first down unless they score. So they can't use 2 plays to burn the clock off. He trotted out 12 dudes on the field on defense on purpose in order to maximize. It saved him 40 seconds, and the Titans scored to extend it to overtime with 4 seconds left.
Wow, that's doubling down on out Belichick and Belichick last year.
Exactly, Ryan. He did the – I think Mike Vrabel might be a genius.
Or at least he has the common sense to have someone who's super smart tell him those things. But, yeah, I'll give him credit. That's amazing.
I mean – you watch it. If you watch the clip, it is like, I think Vrabel just is locked in and knows what he's doing. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah. And like, just to be clear for people who didn't watch it, it was 2nd and 1 with 3:49 left. And so the Titans knew that the Texans are probably going to get a first down on second or third down. Even if the Titans stop them on second and one, that's just 40 more seconds. They're going to run off the clock. If you take the penalty, now the Texans can only get one more first down because they'll be right inside the 20-yard line. So the next first down would have been inside the 9. So there's only room for one more first down. Plus, the penalty stops the clock, and you don't have to worry about that next third down happening if you had stopped them on second and one. So it minimizes the amount of plays that Houston could run going forward. And so that would have been a maximum of 7 of plays.
It's in like 40.
It was next level. Stuff. Yes.
It
yes.
really it's is. A, like, it's
like, I don't know how a head coach can be thinking, like, he has to have someone in the booth watching these specific situations. Cause like Ryan mentioned, he out Belichick, and it's not easy to do that because you're trying to coach the game. You don't have time to say, oh, this is exactly what's going on. It's second and one. But I mean, it was brilliant.
So 3 minutes and 5 seconds left. The flag is thrown. If the Texans run the play and get stuffed, they're like leeching off 40 seconds. And then they're going to run another play. That's going to be a run. And they're going to leech off 40 seconds there. And so he basically saved his team for it. It's an if he did this on purpose, and I'm not trying to like take away credit from Mike Vrabel or like not get like, I just, that is unbelievable coaching.
Yeah. And to your point that I don't think anyone would question Mike Vrabel being a good coach. Again, Matt LaFleur is not doing this. No one's doing this. But the question is, like, there's no doubt in my mind that Mike Vrabel knows what he's doing. I have questions about Matt LaFleur just because.
Vrabel's the most underrated coach probably in the NFL.
That could be.
I think that might be right.
I want to defend Romeo Crennel real quick. He got a lot of crap on Twitter for going for two after the Titans were winning, or the Texans were winning 30-29. They scored and they went up 36-29, and they scored with a minute 50 right. left, and Crennel decided to go for two. If you go for two, you're up.
It's over.
It is over. So you have, if you think a 2-point conversion has a 50% chance of making it, you have a 50% chance of ending the game. And to anyone on Twitter, it would just, the simple question is, with a minute 50 left in a game, would you rather be up one score or two scores? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And anyone in their right mind is going to say they'd rather be up two scores. So if you have a 50% chance of just completely ending the game, you're going to take it. And if you, most coaches in the NFL, if they're down 7, so if you fail, they're going to kick the extra point and go to overtime if they score. And also, the Texans hadn't been able to stop the Titans offense all day. So it's almost like you're assuming the Titans are going to get a touchdown on the ensuing drive, which they did. So I thought Romeo Crennel absolutely made the right decision to go for two, even though they didn't get it.
I also think that the analysis of that decision lacks the foresight that like basically envelops all of professional football. So would you rather be on offense or defense?
Offense.
Always, right?
Unless you're the Browns playing the Steelers, but yeah.
Right. I mean, like you would always rather be on offense. You have the whole point of the analytic stuff is that you have a greater than 50% chance. And it's not like 90%, although God knows you. Anyway, it's like 53%. I was about to go on a rant about my wife and percentages. Oh, it's like 53%, right? Or 56% for 2-point conversions.
Sure.
It's about 50%.
But it's above 50%. That's the whole point.
But here, so, let's take a step further. The extra point, which is a 33-yard field goal, is less than 100%. So that means on average, you're going to get less than 1 point, percentage wise. So if it's 50-50 for a 2-pointer, it averages it to more than 1 point. So it makes sense to go for it.
But my point was, and my wife just texted me, which is terrifying. Apparently my dog who came up here when it woke my wife up. Thanks, you little.
Ah,
EOS. If you have a 53% chance of successfully converting a fourth down conversion or fourth down attempt, do you know what that means? The defense's percentage is 47. It means you'd rather be on offense. So if you're Romeo Crennel and you're talking about the situation, would you rather go for two with a 53% chance to convert it, or would you rather kick and then give the Titans a chance to go for two when you have a 47% chance to convert it? It's easy math. You want to be on offense. You want to dictate the game. You want to put the percentages in your favor. And if you go for it, you have a 53% chance to convert or whatever it is, versus if you're on defense, you're at a disadvantage at stopping the conversion. That is not crazy game theory. And I get the people like, you got to kick. Go up 8. Make them get the touchdown to 3-point conversion. I get it. But if you're up 9, you win. It's not that hard.
By the way, kicking the extra point isn't 100%.
Especially not with the Titans, who had a 26-yard field goal blocked and missed a 37-yard field goal, plus all those misses Gostkowski had in week one. He was bringing back the week one memories for Tennessee fans in this game. So an extra point absolutely was not.
So would you rather have a 75% chance to make a 33-yarder with Stephen Gostkowski or a 52% chance to go for two? I mean, it's not like super complicated.
You, in that spot, you go for two. You're up 100. Nine. The game is over. You don't go to overtime and you don't lose by six. I mean, that's hindsight, obviously, but there's a very clear mathematical application here. And I'm not even a math guy.
You are not a math guy. No, I'll vouch for that.
Confirm. All right. What's
the fun fact real quick? The Titans became the first team in NFL history with a quarterback who threw for 350 or more yards and a running back who rushed for 200 or more yards in the same game. It's never happened before.
Right now, it wasn't great in this game.
Are you kidding me? He was a 64. What did you watch? Like the 1 minute where he fumbled the ball?
Or a bad pick? Bad pick late?
Yeah, that wasn't a bad pick. It was a middle of the field. He threw four touchdowns.
He was good. Sorry. You know, I retract that. Sorry. He was good. He was very good. He was dealing early, and then he
didn't. I'm too lazy to argue with you. What's next?
Right. Look, I watched a bunch of Braves games, drinking a bunch of bourbon. Leave me alone. Oh, I know what's next. The Colts 31, the Bengals 27.
Oh, God.
Oh, he missed. He missed. Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a muscle, and there is complete elation.
He played the whole thing for that one.
I know. So Randy Bullock didn't pull a muscle, but he did miss. And actually, this sucks because I had a money line parlay with the Bears, Falcons, and Bengals. It would have paid me. It would have had a comma involved. So thanks, Randy Bullock. Go F yourself.
Go after yourself, because I literally was thinking in my head how I was going to rub it in Brinson's face that Philip Rivers threw a late game fourth quarter interception with his team leading 28-27 that set the Bengals up for what would have been the go ahead, possibly game winning field goal.
But then the young quarterback, Joe Burrow, threw a late horrible interception that ended his team's chances of, you guys won yet?
Yes, Brinson. For the third time this podcast, the Bengals have a win.
Ended his chance of getting he tweeted out he got a win. Ended your chance of getting a second win. And still settled for a loss.
Reach, they were up 21-0. What was the halftime score? Was it 24-21?
No, the Colts took the lead on the first drive of the second half, I think.
What happened?
Yeah, the Bengals were winning 24-21 at the half. What happened, well, first of all, is that the Colts came in with the top scoring defense in the NFL. Bengals are winning 21-0. They went off. So let's
Ryan,
give them.
Already explained that part of it.
Well, let me say real quick that so this was the first game ever. we bought the baby a Bengals onesie finally. This is the first game she was allowed to wear it. I was like, you know what? Fine. It's been 6 weeks, and you know, like, text a picture of the family, and the Bengals go up 21-0. So now they're texting back.
Whoa! You texted a picture when they were up 21-0?
No, before the game. Before the game.
Picture the onesie with Annabelle in it. Everyone's excited. And then proceed.
And now they said she can't be a Bengals fan. They don't want her to be a Bengals fan anymore.
Do you know the last time the Bengals had a 21-point lead?
2018 against the Buccaneers. And they beat Jameis Winston 37-34.
Yeah, we all got the rundown, Breach. Good job.
Yeah, I don't have the rundown. That was literally off memory.
Oh. All right, let Breach finish. I want to hear this demoralizing story.
So what happened is that the Colts defense played like the Colts defense. Colts have a good defense. The Bengals couldn't move the ball at all in the second quarter. I think they had like 30 total yards, and that was it. And they weren't going to shut out Indianapolis. I mean, I think that was pretty clear. They literally did nothing after going up 21-0. So, you know, they got two field goals and
good breakdown. Let's be honest here. Let's call a spade a spade and appreciate the fact that Philip Rivers got white hot.
Let me ask, so an unbiased observer, Breach, would you say that Philip Rivers played well in this game?
Yes, I thought Philip Rivers played his best game in the season.
Okay.
Ooh.
There you go.
Besides for that late fourth quarter interception.
Early on, I was getting a lot of texts like, Rivers is washed. And Rivers got dialed in.
I didn't watch the game closely, but his three touchdown passes were all fantastic throws.
Yeah. He played really well. He got like, I don't know what happened.
What happened. They said, hey, this is Jacoby Brissett. He's your backup. What do you think about that? Noodle arm.
Get out of here. Trey Burton, by the way, receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown of the Wildcat formation.
No Mo Alley Cox, so that was a big day for Trey.
Burton, of course, the former college quarterback who threw the pass to Nick Foles.
Yeah, what was that play called? Philly Special.
Philly Special. Cheesesteak? By the way, also dagger.
What?
A ton of Joe Burrow or Joe Mixon in DFS.
He has a foot injury.
Giovanni Bernard touchdown.
By the way,
Burrow rushing touchdown.
You talk about Justin Herbert's mugshot every time we do the graphic. Take a look at Gio Bernard's mugshot. He looks like
the dude from Super Troopers.
Oh, I never saw that. But he looks like he's
Super Troopers?
I don't think so.
You gotta watch Super Troopers.
Yeah, I'm probably beyond that point. But anyway, he has a fantastic mustache. It's what Breach wears when he goes to burgle houses, I'm almost certain. That sort of mustache.
Breach, have you seen Super Troopers?
I have.
Diva?
Yes, and Super Troopers 2.
I actually thought Super Troopers 2 was funnier than people give it credit for. Brian, you really need to watch Super Troopers.
I will do that
tonight. AJ Green had his best game of the season.
Oh, by the way, Breach, I'm glad you said that because we talked last week about how he didn't try. I saw him on a deep pass early in that game where he did not even jump.
He didn't care.
It was a pass breakup, and the ball hit him in the hands, and then he dropped it. And it's clear to me that he does not want to be out there.
You know what's funny? I'll tell you the one thing you ask about how they blew this lead. I would almost put it on Zach Taylor. I thought the first quarter, I was like, Zach Taylor is the coach of the year. This is the most brilliant coaching performance I've ever seen. Then over the final three quarters, it was just like he checked out. He pulled an Aaron Rodgers and just decided to mentally check out of the game. And they went three and out a few times. It was just the play calling just seemed all over the place. It was kind of depressing to watch. I could sense that the Bengals were not going to win this game after the Colts scored their first touchdown.
I'm pretty disappointed in AJ Green.
He
didn't care.
Well, he said last week that he felt like he gave up on his team. Breach said he played well this game, which is great. But what I saw early on was it was not encouraging in terms of him turning things around. So I'm glad maybe he found himself or whatever.
All right, Ryan, in Vegas, the odds on the Bengals finishing 2-12-2.
Oh, wow.
It's currently 5-1. Would you bet that? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Like they tie another team?
They just wanted to finish 2-12-2.
Put a hundy down on that.
Who's the best team in the AFC South?
Tennessee. Are you crazy?
Colts 4-2.
I'm with Breach. I like Tennessee a lot. It's one of the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
The Colts have a better defense than the Titans.
They do. But the Titans have a better running back and a better pass receivers and a better quarterback.
Fair.
They did lose the left tackle.
The Colts haven't played anybody. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will discuss the Falcons dropping a 40 burger on Minnesota.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
Falcons 40, Vikings 23.
They manscaped the Vikings.
Oh,
obviously, the Falcons plus 3.5 covered. The over hit. This over had no business hitting, but it was a quintessential like 2020 NFL game where Matt Ryan extends a play on fourth down, throws like a little like jump pass to Julio Jones, who takes it 40 yards for a touchdown. And then Kirk Cousins goes back the other way to Justin Jefferson for a touchdown. It really should have been like 37-10.
Kirk Cousins.
Wait, and then Matt Ryan throws another long touchdown pass on fourth down. It wasn't long per se. It was all yards after catch. But
the Hayden Hurst, don't you remember?
Hayden Hurst, 35-yard touchdown catch on fourth and one. And then Kirk Cousins threw another touchdown pass.
There were like four entirely unnecessary touchdowns in this game.
And that to me is a microcosm of why Kirk Cousins is terrible. It was 20-0 at half, I think, something like that. He had zero touchdowns, three interceptions.
30-7 at half.
It was 20-0.
Okay.
And his very first throw was the curbiest of interceptions. It was, if Breach went out there with a blindfold and you made him throw left-handed, he would not throw a pass that poor.
I would not.
I don't know what, and here's what happens. I say it every week. If the Vikings get down, guess what Kirk Cousins can't do? He can't come from behind. So it didn't matter that Dalvin Cook wasn't out there. Madison rushed for 26 friggin' yards on 10 carries.
You know, he was Jamie Eisenberg started the
week. He was so angry. what did Mike Singletary say? You can't win with him. And he went on that rant about the tight end.
I want winners!
Right. Kirby Cousins ain't cutting it, man. It ain't all on him. I know the defense is young, blah, blah, blah. But you just lost to the Falcons.
I think what happened with the Kirk Cousins thing is...
He's terrible. That's what
happened. No, well, I think they stuck a. I think Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer got on, like, they're not on the same page. Like, they stuck a square peg in a round hole. Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer can't coexist.
It ain't working.
Can you believe that this team gave Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins, who cannot coexist, both got extensions this past offseason? I mean, that's insane. That's bananas. You can't have both those guys.
NAS.
On the same team. You have to get rid of one of them eventually, or both of them. I don't know
if
you get rid of them.
They traded Stephon Diggs, who looks awesome.
Well, Justin Jefferson went off. That's the great news.
Justin Jefferson's great.
He had 166 receiving yards and 39 fantasy points for me. But again, garbage time Kirk, that doesn't do you any good if you're a Vikings fan. Mike Zimmer, Ziggy Wilf, it doesn't help you because the doors were blown off of this team. I guess the good news is, we're down to the Falcons. That doesn't mean anything because the Falcons are terrible and they always blow leads in the second half. The bad news is Kirk Cousins can't come back.
They're a bad football team. And this is my whole argument for taking the Vikings or taking the Falcons before the game is that the Vikings cornerbacks, and Mike Zimmer is probably the best cornerbacks, like coach in terms of defensive coordinator or head coach, however you want to phrase it, of all time. Like he coaches up cornerbacks like crazy. Did it in Cincinnati, did it in Dallas, does it in Minnesota. But these guys are young and they're not prepared. And the Falcons didn't even have a good game plan. They were trying to go back to Todd Gurley. All they had to do was just let Matt Ryan throw deep to Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, and they were not going to be covered. It was a physical mismatch all day long. Just throw bombs to those guys, and they had everything they wanted, and they wouldn't do it. The Vikings are bad.
Did you see? Take a look at the Kurt's comments in Slack there.
So Kirk said, the reality of is if the pace I'm on in terms of interceptions, if that were to continue, I won't finish the season. I won't. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of, you've got to improve. Whether it's them telling me, hey, we got to improve, or them pulling me, we got to get better. That's what the rest of the season will be about for me. I'm trying to protect the ball as best I can. Mm-hmm. Because when you turn the ball over, it really hurts your chances to win. I know that. I just need to improve as we look ahead for the rest of the season. That sounds like,
you know what, the next drop should be him saying, how you like that?
That sounds like a guy who wants to get benched and collect paychecks.
That's Joe Flacco. Like.
It's hard to explain.
And in this game, real quick, I thought that the biggest key was the Falcons defense came up with the goal line stand. Score was 10-0. Atlanta was up. It happened in the second quarter. And the Vikings hit the ball at the 1-yard line. If they have Dalvin Cook, they probably just hand it off and he walks in, but they had our boy Alexander Mattison. They couldn't get in. And you know what they did? They didn't give the ball to Mattison.
I bet the live over right before that goal line stand at 57.5. And like as soon as it got stopped, I was like, this is dead. And it somehow still hit.
They have Mattison. So what they do on 3rd and 1 from the 1-yard line, Kirk Cousins throw incomplete. 4th and 1 or 4th and goal from the 1-yard line, they don't give the ball to Mattison. So like, you have a starting running back for a reason. Like, why aren't you using him? And on 2nd and goal from 3, he had gained 2 yards to get them to the 1-yard line. So just mind blowing play calling, bad football team. Are they the worst team in the NFC North?
Yeah, by far.
Yeah. Who's second?
the Lions, I guess.
Oh, we should talk about him.
Nice. Great segue.
Nice, baby.
To the Lions, who are not next in the rundown, but we'll do it anyway.
Ryan just
Lions,
rundown stuff.
Going
Lions rogue. And Jaguars. The Lions smoked the Jaguars. The Lions should be 4-1. Is that right?
Let's settle down with that. Is Jim Caldwell coaching them? Otherwise, they're not going to be 4-1.
Matt Patricia's the worst. He tried to blow this game too, but the Jaguars are too terrible.
Can we start off with a, I want to hear Breach's take of having the fifth kicker in 5 weeks and
hold on. 34-16, Lions beat the Jaguars. This game should have gone over in the first half, but the Jaguars have no interest in scoring points, so it didn't. Instead, the under 53 hits, the Lions cover -3. DeAndre Swift, your top fantasy performer, 23 points. If you played him in DFS, you probably got rich. What was fascinating, Breach, about this is that at some point in the first quarter, this gentleman trots out to kick a field goal. You're like, is that Bills wide receiver John Brown?
Right.
Oh, that's another man named John Brown who's never in it. Is it never in his life kicked a field
high
goal?
High school, college. He was a college soccer player. Never kicked
all,
a field goal.
All of that is true. Everything you just said. So if you're Jacksonville and you're 1-4 going in this game, what makes more sense? Not having a kicker and just going for it on fourth down and extra points, or bringing in someone who has literally never kicked a field goal in a game that counts in his entire life at any level? He did.
Just clarify. Did you say in his life? You mean his entire life?
I mean his entire life. So not at high school, not college.
He has never kicked a field goal until he attempted one on Sunday at the NFL level, right?
He tried a few preseason.
Insane.
He had a few preseason field goals with the Bengals, but he had never made one in an actual game. There's a different pressure level between a game and a preseason game. And he missed a 32-yard field goal, but bless his heart, he did make one field goal.
Made his first one, which was, it was pressure packed.
But the point here is that I go back to is this, if you're just going to bring in some guy off the street who's never kicked a ball in his life in an actual game, just go for it. Just go for it on fourth down. You have nothing to lose. You're 1-4. You're probably going to be fired in 2 or 3 weeks anyway. Just go for it. Like,
Rich, how old's your dad?
63.
So let's say he had a month to prepare. Would you rather have Jim Breach at 63 years old kicking today for the Jaguars, who has tons of experience, or John Brown, who, as we have pointed out, has never kicked before in an organized football game?
Well, if Jacksonville's kicking from the lengths they were kicking from in this game, then my dad, both kicks were inside 32 yards. And again, that means that Jacksonville got the red zone and kicked field goals. Why are you kicking field goals? It just did not make any sense.
You should call into Jacksonville radio on Monday and say, listen, my dad's Jim Breach. I would have rather had him out there kicking those field goals than John Brown, comma soccer player.
Yeah. The Jaguars are awful. Awful.
Not as bad as the Jets, but they're not great.
Yeah, that's right. They're the Jets without the, they made the mistake of not being the Jets. They should be the Jets.
So on the flip side, the Lions have 2 wins in 5 games.
I don't think the Lions are that bad.
Well, I was going to say, what does this mean for Bob Quinn and Matthew Patricia?
They're not getting fired right now.
No, but I mean, what do they need to accomplish to keep their jobs? 8-8, I feel like is what it should be, but I don't know.
They had lost their last, what did we say this last week? Last 6 games.
Well, double digit leads.
I mean, like they should have been the Saints.
Oh, enough, but that should have.
They had three games this year where they were leading by double digits.
How many wins does Matt Patricia have to avoid getting fired? Is what I'm asking you.
But if they win those 3 games, they're like 5-1, and people were like, "Oh, I'm dancing around like, oh, you know, suck it." Took the Lions win the division. Said they sink.
Okay, so when they go 6-10, Matt Patricia can say, "Well, we won those 4 other games. Don't worry."
Right, if I gave you an offer right now, you can bet the Lions 10-1 to make the playoffs. Would you do it?
No.
Ooh, I would.
I'm not throwing away that $1.
10-1? $1? We're going to bet $1 on it?
I'll give you $1,000,000 to 1. Go along with my Mr. Trubisky thing and my Trent Williams.
Whoa. All right. So what do I need for Trubisky and the other bet?
I don't know.
$10. Say $15.
Plus sure.
All right. You're going to give me what odds for the Detroit to make the playoffs?
$4 billion to 1.
I'm not going to make you pay me $4 billion. I'm going to take the money that I owe you and put it on the line. So give me a reasonable offer.
I'll give you a 10 to 1.
Somewhere between 10 and 4 billion. I was looking for something like 25.
Right. Let's do 25. 25 right. to 1.
All right. I will roll my losses to you.
All right.
$15.
PayPal it to me. Don't Venmo it to me. PayPal.
Why not Venmo?
I'm kidding. PayPal's what old people use.
By the way, if you do Venmo, you don't do private Venmo, you're a sucker. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, what's next?
Why are we talking about the Jaguars? By the way, Safari sucks. Freezes every 3 minutes. What's the next game, Debo?
Ryan has talked about and now everything's lost.
Giants 20, Washington 19.
That's not what I had, but let's hit it.
Bears, Panthers, sorry. It froze. It scrolled down a bunch. Bears, Panthers.
5-1 Bears, and you're putting them at the end. And while we were chatting, our buddy Matt Snyder, Major League Baseball writer for CBSSports.com, was texting us because all these Bears fans are peacocking around. Joe Musso, the anchor in Stanford, comes peacocking in after the Bears win. Our lawyer friend who doesn't do anything at law school would tweet about stupid stuff. He's peacocking around. So the Bears are going to the playoffs. You're talking about the Lions. The Bears are going.
The Bears are probably going to the playoffs.
No, they're going.
Not guaranteed.
Reach, where are you on the Bears going to the playoffs conversation?
Burton, they're 5-1. If they just go 4-6 the rest of the way, they're getting in. They're going 4-6 the rest of the way, like minimum.
Rams, Saints, Titans, Vikings, Packers, Lions.
Lions? What are you talking about?
I'm literally reading the schedule.
Oh, I thought you meant the teams that are playoff eligible. That's what I was yelling.
I'm reading the schedule.
Okay.
Then Texans, Vikings. Yeah, they're going to the playoffs.
Okay. There we go.
Texans,
Vikings. So wait a second. You've apologized.
Jaguars, Packers.
You've apologized.
Now, look.
Hold on. Wait. Stop. You've apologized to Steelers fans. Do you want to now preemptively apologize to Bears fans or not yet?
Don't do it. I think you need to wait. Like,
you know what I did, right?
No.
I flipped. I'm picking the Bears to win every game from here on out.
That is so infuriating.
I wrote that in my column.
Take your medicine.
I got so many tweets. They were like, you're not even picking games based on data, or you're just picking them out of spite. I was like, why do you care?
I'm picking
the Bears to win every game
for the
rest of the season. They're going to win every game 24-3 the rest of the way.
That is the most Brinson thing ever. Now Bears fans can't even enjoy winning games because this butthole.
Yeah.
Leaning into it.
So I would have them beat the Rams. I think they could lose the next three. And then all of a sudden,
they're going to crush the Rams. We just talked about that an hour ago.
Yeah, they will.
No.
I agree with that.
What's the line there?
Well, you're on the losing side if you're taking the Rams.
Where is it? It's in Chicago, right?
It's in LA.
It's in LA, and the Rams are favored by 6.5.
Oh, get out of here.
Whoa.
Jared Goff is going to get eaten alive by that Bears defense. It's going to be ugly. The 49ers didn't even have a healthy defense tonight, and Jared Goff struggled.
Was that before or after the
I don't know.
Sunday Night Football?
I don't know, but it's a lot.
6.5 is way too much.
Yeah.
I mean, have to the Bears.
Nick Foles, baby. Right? Yes.
Although.
Oh, stop it.
Well, no, I don't think that Matt Nagy's creative enough to avoid.
The Rams had 6 points at halftime and 9 points to the very end of the game where they threw that.
Bears defense is good. Bears offense, not very good.
Nick Foles, Allen.
The Bears defense is so good, it makes up for the fact that the offense isn't great.
The Bears' first touchdown drive was seven yards.
7 yards.
They're a house of cards.
Or the Rams.
No, they're a house of cards, but like the bottom foundation is made of cement, and then there's some cards on top of it. The defense is so good, the house can't completely collapse.
House of cards works, man.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you how it's different.
Well, this house of cards, it's glued together at the bottom. How about that?
It can't collapse.
That's right.
Bears are a house of cards.
You said they're going to win every game, so make up your mind.
A house of like greeting cards or holiday cards or playing cards?
I'm going to pick them to win every game, and I hope they lose every game. It's
the absolute worst.
6.5? That's insane.
All right, well, what did you take away from your Panthers there?
Teddy Bridgewater's okay. He and Nick Foles both made some picks. No, like Teddy threw down the field a little bit better than I thought he would. Robbie Anderson, by the way, is a legit wide receiver one.
Yeah, one of those interceptions was his fault.
Yeah, but he made some pretty good plays.
Well, let me see if I can remember this stat that I read in early on. So coming into the game, he had 36 receptions, which was the best all time in Panthers history through the first five games. He had four more. It looks like 77 yards. So I don't know where that puts him, but, that's pretty insane. Teddy Bridgewater led the NFL in first half passing yards coming into this game. He didn't do quite as well this time around, but I mean, so they're outplaying, out kicking their coverage, if you will, to borrow a favorite website of yours. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
This is a game between two teams that used to, it felt like this is the John Fox Bowl.
That's disrespectful.
Like, you want to see how we can not play offense? Let's not play offense. I mean, both teams are terrible.
One of the teams is 5-1 though.
That's true.
3-3 Yeah. The Bears are 5-1 It's undeniable. The guy who I was trolling week one is just won't stop DMing me.
By the way, before we move quickly, both these teams are going to crush their overs, preseason overs.
Yes. All right. This game was, both teams tried to lose this game. It was bad. The Bears won. I said they'd win. They did win.
You said they win. All right.
You spike picked them. How does that count?
Exactly.
Let's move on.
What do you got?
90 minutes.
Yes. Love it.
To the next game.
Which is. Come on.
You can talk about the Giants now. Giants 20, Washington football team 19.
Yes, I love this. Steve was like, enough.
I'm going to give one sentence on this game. We're going to move on.
Okay. What's your sentence?
Daniel Jones. No replies. Washington is bad. Daniel Jones is worse. And yet he still overcame a decent defensive performance by the Washington football team to win this game.
All right. Let me ask Breach this. Breach, how did you feel about Ron Rivera?
Dolphins 24. Shit.
I'm completely for it. This is what I said about Doug Marrone not having a kicker. If you're a bad team, if you're 1-4, 1-5 at this point, you just do whatever it takes to win. And you go for two at the end. You have nothing to lose. Play to win. I was completely for it.
Ron Rivera's comment afterwards was, if you want to know how to win, you have to learn how to win. Is that wrong?
Did he play the dunk music after that? Because that's pretty dunk worthy. That would have been great.
I mean, thank you for going for the win. Thank you for not playing for the tie. No one wants to see these two teams. Like, it'd be like if you tied, like they're wearing long sleeve t-shirts, you pull the sleeve over their hands and tie it, and they're having a slap fight. Like that, like no one wants to see that in overtime. It'd be awful.
Yeah. I will say this, Daniel Jones coming into this game, 17 of 18 games with a turnover. The only time he didn't have a turnover was previously against the Washington Football Club. He had a turnover today. So he's 18 of 19 games.
32 turnovers since 2019.
That's unacceptable.
If they're going to, like, how much longer? You got to figure the turnover thing out. You know, if you're Daniel Jones, you can't.
Well, the offensive line stinks. They benched Andrew Thomas, their first round pick. He did not play. He may have come later.
What does that say about the person drafting Dave Gettleman that you already benched Dave your Gettleman. First round pick and your starting quarterback, your other first round pick from 2 years ago, is turning the ball over 32 times in 2 years? That if that is not a get rid of your general manager offense, I don't know what is. Blown two first round picks.
They won today. He can put that on his resume.
Oh, so I was talking about this with Azer on the Twitch stream last Sunday. I thought I was talking with y'all. Azer is convinced that if the Giants finish with the top overall pick, they will draft Trevor Lawrence and trade Daniel Jones.
Yes. I say this every week.
Now, did we talk about this last week?
Maybe.
Preston, put a poll up on your Twitter. Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Daniel Jones? It would be 100% Trevor Lawrence. Don't even be close.
No, that's not true, because Dan Schneider would be the one.
Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
Well, that's different.
Don't put me in that spot. That's inappropriate.
Joe Burrow is a million times better than Daniel Jones.
Joe Burrow tied the Eagles. Daniel Jones did not.
Everyone would rather have Trevor Lawrence than anyone. But
I say that every week.
Not Patrick Mahomes.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying, like, now the Giants are in this weird space where
you take him. It's not weird. You take Trevor Lawrence.
The Giants are fine now. They got two. Haskins is easy, right?
Yeah. But like I said last week, the issue is if you're in a position to get Trevor Lawrence.
Why are we talking about this game longer than one sentence? Let's move on.
All right.
Can't move on.
Dolphins 24, Jets nothing. This can be shorter than the last game. This was the Mona Lisa, widely regarded as one of the most important paintings of all time. This was Adam Gates's Mona Lisa.
The dude scored 0 points. And the best part is he kicked a field goal to try to not get shut out, and he honked the friggin' field goal. My question is, how did he score 28 points against the friggin' Cardinals a few weeks ago?
It's 30 to 10.
He scored, the Jets scored 28 points against recently. I think they scored 28 points and obviously lost.
The Broncos on Thursday.
Okay, there you go. How'd that
happen? Darnold ran for 80 yards.
Oh, right. And then he got hurt. So there you go. That's how it happened.
I mean, look, I don't know what to tell you. If you're a Jets fan, I am so sorry.
Why? They're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but
they'll screw him up.
No, you fired Gates. You let him tank the team. You're tanking. You're tanking, but you look like you're trying because you're letting Gates tank the team.
So I think this is. I don't want to derail the podcast about.
We're going to the midnight programming in 30 seconds. So get it.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I think this. Like, the whole point is, do you want Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
Being placed like as you a Trevor Lawrence fan, Ryan? Do you want Trevor Lawrence being? Do you want his stewards to be the Johnsons? Because it sure seems like they will F up a straight line.
Well, they have a ton of cap space, and you just sign. Well, yeah, I mean, Joe Douglas, is he the answer? We don't know. I would imagine that.
I think Joe Douglas is a good GM. I don't know that the Jets are the spot for him.
Is it a better or worse situation?
What if it's just a crap organization?
I mean, you have to go back 10 years now, but they won with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez back-to-back years AFC Championship games.
I mean, okay.
A lot's changed in 10 years. I get that, but I mean, they were able to do it, and that was built around defense and the running game. Mark Sanchez, you know, was never one to throw the ball down the field consistently.
Let me ask you guys a much more important question. Are the Miami Dolphins a playoff team?
Yes, they're good. 3-3.
I think they are.
It's just feeling it. Tua saw his first action.
I'm riding the Dolphins playoff wave. I'm taking Snowflake, the Dolphin, all the way to the playoffs. What you heard it here first.
Tua played, is that what you said?
Yeah, Tua came in and was spotted on the field afterwards, talking like soaking it in.
He was
FaceTime. Yeah, he's FaceTiming his family.
Good for him.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are 2-3.
Oh, they're 2-3.
Or, excuse me, 3-3.
Oh, I was right.
Pats are 2-3. Mm. Bills are 4-1, host the Chiefs on Monday night, tonight. I don't know about the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, they're going in the right direction.
No. They're going the right direction, but you got to deal with the Raiders.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, Colts, 0-7 last year or something like that?
Yeah, it's tough.
Fitz is playing well.
Can they steal the division?
Yes.
Ooh, Breach didn't hesitate.
They've been so good this year. This is the same. They've been within 3 points in the fourth quarter against the Patriots, Bills, and Seahawks. They could have won all three of those games. This team is like 7 plays away from being undefeated.
Do you know what the whoa.
Oh, just don't get distracted. Come on, we're almost there.
Are the odds for the AFC East right now?
If the Dolphins are over plus 400, I would drop money on it.
They're 7.5 to 1.
Ooh. Gee, my God.
Go for it.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah,
I will.
The Bills are.
You don't know where my mouth is.
You just told us a thing, right? Plus 140, something like that?
No.
That's minus 130?
Minus 230.
The Bills?
Yeah. Sweet mercy. Pats are plus 250.
I wouldn't put that on the Bills. That's a lot of money.
I would bet with the Pats. But, I mean, they're 2-3. They just lost to the Broncos at home. The Pats might stink.
That's true. All right.
So let me give you the Dolphins' next 6 games, and you just tell me real quick.
It's not me.
I know.
Rams, sorry, Breach.
Dolphins next.
This is Breach's winners. He's reading the Dolphins' schedule.
All right. Okay. The Dolphins.
Rams. Rams. Cardinals. Chargers. Broncos. Jets. Bengals.
Those are your winners. What are your winners, Brenton?
Who's your winner, Wilson?
It's not my winner.
I'm going to go with the Steelers. Big surprise there. They won. They're still a half game up, I believe, on the Ravens. The defense played better, which is something they haven't done early, as to this point. And Minkah Fitzpatrick showed up to shove it in Pete Prisco's face.
You hate to see it. I will take as my winner, Philip Rivers. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, he missed. He missed. Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a muscle.
That's right. Randy Bullock missed another field goal And as all the haters were sending me texts saying Rivers is washed. Oh, look at this guy. Bring it to go percent. Blah, blah, blah. No, Rivers lit up this trash Bengals defense, dropped bombs on them. The Colts rolled over top of them late. They were down 21-0. They didn't care. Rivers was making it rain with beautiful touchdown passes late. And the Colts won. And you know who lost, Breach? Yeah, boys, the Bengals.
It's a moral Breach. Victory, Brenton. It was a moral victory.
Who's your top loser?
Well, my winner was,
your winner was the Dolphins.
The city of Tampa Bay. Because they won the Stanley Cup. They have the Rays go to the World Series, and now the Buccaneers just plastered the Packers.
Oh, that was backdoor shade about the Braves. Look at that.
What?
You mentioned Tampa Bay in the World Series. There it is.
All right. And my loser, it was going to be the Bengals, but I was like, you know what? There's a bigger loser in Ohio, and that's the Cleveland Browns, who got just blitzkrieged by the Steelers in a game. They were trying to prove they're for real, and they don't look like they're for real.
I agree. The Browns were losers. The bigger losers to me, the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins.
Ooh, good one.
I just don't know where you go from here.
My loser, Pete Prisco. You know why? It's over, pal. It's over. All the things you thought were happening ain't happening. Josh Allen ain't winning MVP. He got exposed against the Titans on Tuesday Night Football. Got to get exposed on Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers exposed on Sunday afternoon against the Buccaneers. Everything you hold dear, is losing, Pete. It's going down the drain. Everything. When I say everything, I mean everything, Prisco. It's over. Your little time as Pandemic Pete is done. You lose, sucker.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.